You're listening to Here to Help on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. When you see someone who looks, speaks, or acts differently than you, it can be easy to make unfair judgments about their life. Maybe they're a criminal, uneducated, poor, cruel, diseased, dangerous. However, assumptions like these can result in missing out in relationships that can enrich our lives. And to take it a step further, when we serve those people without judgment, we can have unforgettable experiences. Susan Treishman is an Illinois native who has worked in the restaurant industry for over 25 years. At one point, she met people that inspired her to do something different with her career. This led her to teach and eventually come to love a unique group of people from her community.
I think my breaking point was when I got tired of hearing people in the business, so social workers and people that know about this demographic, they actually have termed these kids throwaway kids. They termed them that way because they have so many checks on their background. So they have judicial contact, they're homeless, they're illiterate, they just name 10 things that these kids are living with right now. And this vision of throwing away a kid just couldn't handle it anymore. And I was moved to action.
Susan left her successful catering business, made several financial sacrifices, included not taking a paycheck for a couple of years, to start Kurt's Cafe. It's a restaurant training classroom that teaches at-risk youth in the Chicago area valuable job skills. This helps them to be more employable and get back on their own feet. On this episode of Here to Help, join producer Charlotte Kniep as she explores the ins and outs of Kurt's Cafe.
When was the last time a former convict made you a sandwich? Never mind that. When was the last time you actually spoke to a former convict? Well, at Kurt's Cafe in Evanston, Illinois, you can do both.
Order up!
At Kurt's North, where we're sitting now, it's all males now. 90%, 95% are African Americans. They're about 17 to 20 years old, although we have a couple 15 years old, a couple 23 year old. Most of them have very high judicial contact. Many of them have felonies. 90% are homeless, and most are reading at a sixth grade level.
That's Susan, the founder of Kurt's. And up until a few years ago, she had a successful career at her own catering company in Illinois. Then she met some at-risk youth in her community, meaning kids in their teens or early 20s who have had a run-in with the law at some point. She saw this as her next career challenge, turning these struggling teens into successful chefs.
These kids are still going to fall through the cracks. They're a unique group of wonderful people, but no one wanted to address them because they're teenagers. And teenagers, I've had them. They're easier to ignore for a couple of years until you know you're going to love them again. So I got that. This was a group falling through the cracks all the time.
Kurt's is a comfortable place. It's a respite from the busy streets of Chicago, and it feels like a warm living room where you can relax, eat delicious food, and strike up a conversation with anyone, including the staff. In fact, it's encouraged. It's part of the soft skills and social training of the students that will translate to their job success elsewhere in the future.
You know, the training program, the terms we use is front of the house and back of the house. So the front part is the cafe and the back part is the kitchen. So there are skills like, you know, how to make coffee or how to, use the front register and take orders, or in the back, how to use knives. We can list all those skills, but I feel like the biggest thing what they learn here is how to have a job, how to, you know, show up on time and read the schedule or put in requests, be part of a team, come in groomed and ready to go. So they're not here to learn how to make the best cappuccino or, you know, the best roast beef sandwich. They're here to learn how to be part of a team and how to function at their next job.
That's Karen, the area manager for Kurt's. She volunteers her time training and sharing years of restaurant industry wisdom.
What changes is the body language and the eye contact and the ability to converse. So I feel like a lot of the students come in here and they don't have a lot of confidence in themselves, or, you know, this is a completely new environment. So they come in. That's why we start them on the dishes, because you don't have to talk to anybody. You can just be back there in your own little space. By the time they're on a position, let's say on the register, when you see them able to say, not just taking the order, but then they can say, how's your day going today, sir? Or when their face literally lifts up and you see them make eye contact, those are the things to me that measure success, that makes me say, oh my gosh, this guy's going to do great out there.
Susan comments that she relies heavily on Karen and the rest of her volunteer staff because they have a direct impact on the success of the students.
We have over 30 volunteers at each cafe, so it's the mainstay of how we stay open and how we can keep funding. We have 4 volunteer bakers, we have 4 volunteer social workers, we have volunteers that work the coffee line with the students. Our students need one-on-one mentoring, like one-on-one handholding, and if we don't have volunteers here, they don't get the training that they really deserve, so they keep us afloat.
Kurtz has such a unique and diverse group of students that Susan says it's very important for the staff at Kurtz to welcome them with open hearts and open minds. I asked her how they're able to do that.
I guess I could look past what they did because it's what they did. It's not who they are. And when they come to us, they're usually ready to make a change. So I don't see anything except a kid ready to try. And we don't ask them what they did. They're sent to us by different agencies in and around Evanston. We never ask them, what felony did you, or how long were you in, or any of that stuff. It's just, are you ready to start to try to kind of sort of maybe change?
From the human side, I think every single situation, these kids are here despite what they've been brought up with and what they've learned. The word that keeps coming to my mind is it's not their fault, and everybody deserves a second chance. So whatever it is that they've done, they are children. And we said before students, but they're children. You know, is a 16-year-old still a child? So if they're here, they've taken that first step, and it's a huge step. And then I feel the responsibility, like, wow, you walked in the door. Now what can I do to help you, you know, walk out of this door in 90 days ready to move on? I mean, I think it's a lot of courage it takes for these kids to do what they're doing.
One of those courageous kids is
Kendall. I've been here for about 3 months now.
Kendall's 19, and it's his last week at the Kurtz training program. In fact, he already has a restaurant job lined up when he leaves. And I asked him where he'd think he'd be if he hadn't found Kurtz.
I'm not really sure. This is actually my first job. Growing up, I was pretty much in sports, so I never worked. I'm glad I'm at Kurtz because they've been pretty helpful. I say come here to learn, like, how to plan for the future and, like, train for the future, not only jobs, but life, like, or school.
Kendall's learned a lot of things while he's been here, but what he really excelled in was making delicious meals behind the scenes in the kitchen. His favorite thing to make is
the chicken bacon ranch flatbread. Yeah, that's the thing I eat for lunch every day. I mean, I make it all the time for customers, so that's probably my favorite. Ever since I started cooking here, I pretty much enjoyed it, so I'll be cooking at home now. I sometimes cook for my mom.
Another successful student at Kurtz is Clifford.
My brother introduced me to Kurtz because he went through the program, so that's how I started. I would say my favorite part of coming to Kurtz is interacting with the staff. They're actually cool. And also being able to interact with the customers because they're actually nice too.
While there are great people and experiences at Kurtz, it doesn't come without its difficulties. There's a little something in the restaurant industry that Clifford discovered for himself called
the lunch rush. It was my first, I would say, first or second day working here. They had just put me on the cash register, and I was just learning how to work the cash register. All these people came in, like, they were waiting for me to place their order, and I'm like, I don't even really know what everything is. So it's like, I had to think quick, and it was like, wow. But I actually managed to get through it. I didn't show them that I didn't know what I was doing, but
Clifford has big dreams of owning his own business someday, and I asked him what he thinks the skills that he's learned at Kurtz will help him to do in the future.
I've only worked the front, so I've mainly dealt with customers and worked the cashier, so that would benefit me a lot because I'm actually looking to go into retail, so actually my experience dealing with the customers here is actually great. But the working experience is going to help me be able to get a job, to be able to put myself through school. That's what Kurtz actually is helping me out at, the experience of being able to work, get up on time, like basically preparing me for responsibilities with the real world.
There are a number of ways to measure success at a place like Kurtz, especially with such a diverse group of students and dreams. and I asked Susan to share one of her favorite success stories with me.
They're all amazing, but the most recent young man that we had has been homeless since 14. He's 20, was on the streets when he came, but the opportunity to get the job motivated him to get into the YMCA, which previous to that he was not going to do because he did not have to. He could run the street and make money. Like when he got the job, the same day he went and said, yes, I will get the YMCA thing now. I'm ready to do that. And he got a bank account. So he was walking down the street with our manager, Karen, holding the shirt of his new job and saying, you know, Karen, I got a bank account and a place to live and a job today. Pinch me, am I dreaming?
Kendall and Clifford are both getting ready to finish the program, and I asked them what they'd want to say to the staff at Kurtz as they're leaving.
First, I would say thank you. Thank you for giving not only me, but all of the students like an opportunity to be welcomed somewhere that feels like a family and able to like take us step by step what it takes to basically work at a job and giving us the job training skills that we'll use and later on down the road. And thank you for being so nice and warm, so it's easy to come here every day.
I actually would like to give Susan a big thank you for this experience and for her having such a kind heart to want to start a program like this, help out in the community.
If I could do this because I really opened my heart and heard the need, then other people can too, because there's absolutely nothing special about me. I'm not smarter than anybody. I am as shy as they come. I'm a good businesswoman. I'm not the best businesswoman. I didn't know anyone in the community, but I did it because I listened to my heart.
Susan has influenced so many young lives over the years. She's provided a future and, most importantly, hope. She also learned a strong life lesson for herself along the way.
I think what they have taught me is that humility, for one thing. They've taught me that you have strength above and beyond what you think you have. And they've taught me that I have more than most people in the world. And I can't pay my bills. I have never gotten paid from here. I struggle in so many ways, but I feel like the richest girl in the world.
I left Kurtz in the chilly afternoon with one of their famous green smoothies in my hands and my heart full of inspiration. And Susan's final words kept ringing in my ears.
As a society, if we could stop judging people because of what they look like or the backpacks they carry or the pants that they're dragging, because what I've learned through here is sometimes the kids are dragging pants because it's the style. It's also they can't afford a belt. They shop at thrift stores, so they don't go to size 32 and buy that. It could also be that they haven't eaten for 24, 48 hours, and the pants are really loose. I mean, honestly, some of the things that I used to judge walking down the street are so wrong. I just hope that people can learn through the process of my learning that a kid dragging his pants is not a gangbanger, and a kid with a backpack is not selling drugs. He might be carrying his life in that backpack. So maybe just to step back from judgment and look people in the eye and say hi.
We'd like to continue with this theme of serving others without judging by talking to Matt Minkovich. He's the executive director of The Road Home, a homeless shelter here in Salt Lake City. Matt, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Eric.
Can you explain to us a little bit about The Road Home, the shelter that you work with? Describe it maybe for our listeners.
Sure. The Road Home is a nonprofit agency, and we exist to help people to overcome homelessness. And as you mentioned, Eric, we have a shelter which operates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But we are a lot more than simply shelter. We help people to get out of homelessness and back into the community. We will have about 800 people staying with us tonight in our downtown facility. About 200 of those individuals will be young children and families. Similarly, we'll have about 1,300 people across our county who are involved in one of our housing programs, about 525 children, who without the services that we have developed over the past decade would be in need of shelter, and there would not be enough room at the downtown shelter.
Okay, so it's not just the shelter where people go to stay a night or a week. It's a much larger program where you're actually moving people into affordable housing.
That's correct. And we learned early on that the solution to homelessness, of course, is housing. Mm-hmm. And in order to help create more housing in our community, we worked with a variety of other partners. We secured federal funding from a variety of federal sources that helps pay rent and partner with landlords to help people on a temporary basis until they get back on their feet, and will help them with this rent for a few months, and then they move onward and upward on their own.
I appreciate what you said about that first set of figures as you're describing the people in the actual center downtown, the shelter, because you mentioned families and children. And I'm afraid a lot of people have the stereotype that homeless people are simply those struggling with substance abuse or addictions, and those people need help too. I'm not saying that those aren't deserving people, but I think a lot of people have the wrong idea of who the homeless community are. So you said we sometimes have mothers and children, maybe whole families. These people have just fallen on hard times, lost a job, lost a mortgage. How do people find themselves in these situations?
I think you just described it quite well. As a matter of fact, what you just described, Eric, is about 85% of everyone who comes through our shelter. And we're not unique in that regard with other shelters providing services to people in need across the United States. About 85% of people across America experiencing homelessness will have a one-time episode of homelessness. It's rather brief in duration, relatively speaking. It may be 30, 60, or 90 days. That's a long time to be homeless. I do not want to sound callous. One day is too many. But compared to a smaller number of people who may be suffering through addiction or mental health issues or behavioral health issues,
who are more of a chronic homeless situation.
Now, individuals in those crises end up living in homeless shelters across America and will spend months and, in fact, years in shelters. And we're working with others to create a housing model that will help people in the most destitute and desperate of situations to move out of shelter as well and move into housing and begin the process of healing in their home environment and bringing services like substance abuse treatment and mental health counseling.
You know, Matt, that's a great segue, because the thing I'd like to talk about is something that's on your website. One of the core values of the Road Home is to provide equal treatment to all who come to us in need and value the innate human dignity of every person. I mean, there is something about that experience of being judged, which I think must help you now as you help serve all kinds of people without judging. Can you talk to me a little bit about the situations you see, the human beings that come into your center that you know are unfairly judged?
I have to work diligently to make sure that I serve with love and compassion everyone with whom I come in contact. Now, a part of that is very natural and very easy, because that's how I feel toward the people who are coming through our door, regardless of how they may appear. Perhaps that was something that I have worked on and trained internally. Perhaps I'm blind to my misgivings and I'm being more judgmental than I realize. But one thing I do is I meditate throughout the course of the day, whether it be a coworker, whether it be a colleague, whether it be a person coming through our door. I attempt to look at them in the eye, feel love for them, and then everything else just follows. But I have met some of the most remarkable people in the course of doing this work, and they have come to me in a disguise of distress and suffering. And the beauty of being in this work is, after a while, after seeing so much, I think that a lot of that just peels away, and it's very easy to see the child in everyone. The beautiful child in all of us.
Yeah. Now, you have the opportunity to serve day in and day out. And one of the last things I'd like you to share in terms of advice for our listeners is, what can those of us who have only occasional encounters with people who are homeless, people who are struggling, people with mental illness, what can we do to better see the human being? Because, you know, I know when I walk down the street and there's a panhandler and I try to be generous, but then, of course, people say, well, don't give money. So sometimes I give food. And there's a scripture in my religious tradition that says, don't let the beggar put up his petition in vain. And so I always think, okay, I may not have money to give him, I may not have food to give him, but I can at least give him a smile. I can just stop and treat him like a human being. I can at least try to have some kind of interaction rather than just walking on the side of the street. or looking down on that person. What would you suggest to those of us who have only infrequent encounters with people to not judge?
Well, Eric, I think you just answered the question. I think when we can look at each other, I think Maya Angelou said, can we look at each other with help and say with hope and say good morning? And if we can look to others and share a blessing, share a well wish, share a smile.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for coming into studio today. And I hope our listeners will think of both of these stories we've had today about the cafe where we're teaching at-risk students, children, teenagers, how to get some workable skills, and the great work that the Road Home is doing, not just in providing shelter, but help people transition. We don't want to just put a Band-Aid on the problem. We want to help solve the problem. So I encourage people to look for opportunities in their own communities where they can serve, where they can volunteer. But most of all, just look for opportunities to treat each other with dignity as fellow human beings. Matt, thank you for coming today.
Thank you, Eric.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us for another episode of Here to Help on the Mormon Channel.